We live in an era where people increasingly say that they are spiritual, but not religious. What that really means is that they claim to believe in God and spend time communing with God in prayer and meditation and in acts of kindness, but they don't go to church. They don't so much want to practice the faith, which is religion, as they want to experience the faith, which is spirituality. Personally, I don't think you can have one without the other, but what do I know? I've only been a steward of the gospel of the church for 39 years. That seems to make me suspect and disqualifies me to speak the truth. Go figure. But the truth is that the Spirit, or that life in the Spirit, can be risky. You never quite know what the Spirit's going to do, or where the Spirit will lead you, or how it might change you. The Holy Spirit is a power outside of ourselves that helps us in our weakness, yes, but also a power that pushes us, prods us, pokes us, and rarely leaves us as we are. That's why us church folk, who've been dealing with the Holy Spirit for a very long time, have always been a bit wary of the Holy Spirit. We know that to be genuinely spiritual is to play with fire, with the passionate fire of God's Spirit. James Forbes, the former pastor of New York's Riverside Church in New York, suggests that most mainline Protestants are uncomfortable with the very idea of the Holy Spirit. Forbes, you see, grew up Pentecostal, a branch of the faith which, as you know, takes its name from the festival of Pentecost, which we celebrated last week. Pentecostal worship is guided, supposedly, by the Spirit, and is often freewheeling and unstructured, characterized by emotionalism, verbal enthusiasm, and speaking in tongues, all of which makes Presbyterians very, very nervous. We are the orderly branch of Christianity. Pentecostals are puzzled by the fact that our worship is so structured, we can write out the sequence, even write out the prayers, print it up, hand it out, call it the order of worship, and dare anyone to deviate from it. We have a constitution, after all, half of which is called the Book of Order. And we like to say that we do things decently and in order. Pentecostal worship is like jazz, a melody of the moment, while Presbyterian worship is more like a symphony, structured, organized, and repeatable. We consult the Spirit before we gather for worship, while the Pentecostals consult the Spirit in the midst of worship. I remember John Buchanan, former pastor of Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago and former moderator of our denomination, telling this story about Presbyterian worship and the Spirit. A woman wandered into a Presbyterian church on Sunday morning, sat down in a pew, and joined in the service, which was already underway. Everything went according to the prescribed order: hymns, prayers, scripture readings. When the minister stepped to preach, however, the woman suddenly became very animated and vocally responsive. "Yes," she said out loud when she heard him make a point she liked. "Yes, preacher," she shouted out a few moments later. "Praise the Lord, praise his holy name," she said, only louder this time. People began to shuffle and squirm uneasily. Some turned in their seats to see who would do such a thing. "Amen," she shouted, and an usher, discreetly of course, approached her and whispered, "Ma'am, is there something wrong?" "Why, no," she said, "I've just got the Spirit." Whereupon he said, "Well, you didn't get it here." But what Presbyterian worship reflects is that the Spirit of God is potent, a force to be reckoned with, not trifled with. It is a person, as we say in our creeds, a persona who is one of the aspects of the very nature of God. It has preciously little to do with feeling good, or with being good, or being centered and focused and at peace, as much of contemporary spirituality suggests it does. The Spirit has to do with being in the presence of God and revealing God. In an age of the Spirit, with what passes for spirituality is often just a projection of our human values and infatuations, Trinity Sunday is a good time to remember the distinctive identity of God, whom we have learned is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's hard to grasp, to get hold of a triune God who is three but also one. And that's a good thing, because whatever humankind gets hold of, we manipulate to use for our own purposes. When Jesus stood before Pilate, he told him that he came to testify to the truth. But Pilate, depressingly aware of how he, as a representative of government and culture, manufactured and manipulated truth, sound familiar? Said disparagingly, "What is truth?" The truth that Jesus taught and lived and was and is the triune God, actively creating, redeeming, and sustaining all things visible and invisible. And he promised his disciples on the eve of his arrest that after his departure, the Spirit of truth would come and lead into all truth. It is that truth that we worship, that we proclaim, that we love, and that we serve. There is nothing relative or manufactured about it. It is eternal, it is powerful, it is living, and it will set you free. Spirituality is not something vague within us, nor is it something that emerges from us. It is something that is brought to us, taught to us by God's Spirit. And Christian spirituality isn't just some projection of our various inclinations about God. It is about the revelation of the Trinity, the disclosure of the nature of the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that disclosure is challenging. The God I meet and experience through the teaching of the Holy Spirit may be different from the God I previously imagined. Some of my cherished notions may be rearranged, even shattered. I will not be able to continue with things as they were or as I was. I will have to contend with this Creator and Redeemer and Teacher who is revealed to me, and I will have to respond. The Spirit is a gift, to be sure, received in our baptism. But it is a gift that we aren't always sure we want, because it's demanding and pushy and transforming. It is the gift that keeps on giving, whether we want it to or not. A friend of Holly's and mine began her working life as a research analyst for CBS Television in New York. She was good. In fact, she was very good and enjoyed a meteoric rise to the high levels of that organization, moving rapidly from research analyst to the director of their affiliate station in Chicago. But despite her success and her magnificent condo and her accumulated wealth, she was vaguely dissatisfied. Well, that's not quite true, because I think she was perfectly satisfied. It was just that God wasn't satisfied with her, or at least that God wasn't finished with her yet. She began to sense that the Spirit wanted something more from her, that she needed to become someone else to be the person God had called her to be. When she told her friends that she was thinking about doing something else, we all thought she was crazy. Why would anyone be nuts enough to walk away from what she had and from the brilliant future she would most certainly enjoy at CBS? But she did. She walked away, and for 2 years or so, did nothing, lay fallow, just listening to and learning from God's Spirit. Then she went to teach the fourth grade in elementary school in downtown New York City. And she loved it. She was quoted as saying, "In business, I love the growing of people into new and different things. In the classroom, I can impact kids' lives and call upon creativity that I didn't even realize I had. I work harder than I ever have before. This job is much more creative and much more fatiguing. It is exhausting, but I love it." And Henry Nouwen, many of you know the name, author of 39 books on Christian spirituality, scholar and professor, did something very similar. After nearly two decades of teaching at academic institutions, including the University of Notre Dame, Yale Divinity School, and Harvard Divinity School, he left to work with the intellectually and developmentally disabled at Lark Daybreak Community in Ontario, where he ministered happily until his death. Well, that's the Holy Spirit for you, the Spirit of truth. The Spirit takes us places we never intended to go and introduces us to people we never intended to spend time with, like the poor, the diseased, the hungry, the homeless, the prisoner, the disabled, and the outcast. The Spirit is not about our order for life and worship, it's about God's order. The Spirit is not about our achievements, our creativity, our fulfillment. It's about God's achievements, God's creation, and about the fulfillment of God's purposes. The Spirit is not about our control, our knowledge, our explanations. It's about God's control, the knowledge of God, and God's interpretation of the way things are and are meant to be. The Spirit is about revealing the truth. The truth that sets us free from the fetters of our indulgent humanity for the unsurpassed joy of an obedient humanity that listens, learns from, and is guided by the transforming love of an eternal and triune God. It's about the comfort of knowing that you are living in the presence and power and forgiveness and love of God Almighty. Yes, that's what the Spirit's about. And that's the Spirit you will get here at Ladue Chapel in this community of faith. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and that you are three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we pray that we will always embrace the truth that you have given to us through that Spirit here in the community of faith where we all belong. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.